42.
I don't talk much about life after she passed. There just isn't much to say.
Charles mentally selected the information tab that went with Dungeon War, and was rewarded with a scrolling screen's worth of information that he quickly closed. He was willing to put some effort forward, but that amount of reading?
Too much.
3 days was a long time for the Dungeon War thing to happen, and he would worry about it later. After carefully making his way upstairs, he found that the sun was setting, and the day had gone quickly. He also felt worn down. The toll of the eventful morning, the emotional push and pull of the reincarnators, Bert's visit, the concentration he spent on dungeon things, all added up. He knew to go to sleep when he felt tired. With no one else around, he made his way into the cabin and went to sleep. In the morning, after making himself a slightly burnt egg, he made his way outside to sit on his rocking chair to whittle. It was the first morning he had woken up without finding any young people or random weirdness bothering him, and he was pleasantly surprised. He hummed to himself as he whittled. By mid-morning he found himself finished whittling and realized he had nothing much to do. In the real world there was always something to do, something to fix, pills to take, medical appointments to go to, food to eat, clothes to wash, and generally the chores that went along with everyday life. All of it together normally consumed most of his day. He only sat back to watch movies after those were done. Here, he had none of the daily burdens to distract him and realized that he was, for the first time in a while, bored. He stood and paced around the yard, slowly considering it. It wasn't that he was truly bored. Not having chores was a good thing. What bothered him was that after years of living alone and finding his own entertainment, he found himself immersed in a game with so much social interaction, and it was a big difference in his way of life. He hadn't reacted well to the change at first, but now he found himself lonely. It was awkward to think about. He hadn't felt really lonely in a while. After his wife passed and the whirlwind of events that surrounded her funeral and wake were settled, he had truly felt deeply alone. This wasn't the same, but it reminded him of that in a way he really wasn't comfortable with. Those feelings were normally locked away in a safe in the back of his mind. The sadness and grief of her passing was something he spent nearly a decade working through. The worst had passed, and now it was a twinge of melancholy that wove in and out of his thoughts at random. Oftentimes it was spurred by some kind of reminder, usually when he didn't want to be reminded, or something as simple as a missing memento that was gone when he went to look for it. These scars were not something he was comfortable with leaking out, and he wasn't happy that being left alone was the cause. It was a bitter irony that what he sought for so long in the game was the opposite of what he truly wanted. The only thing that kept him from logging out right then and there was the fact that his great-grandkids were coming by the next day. Not fully understanding the time compression made him uncertain if he would miss their visit should he log out. So instead, he looked for other things to distract himself with. First, he sought his roommate, but he couldn't find her. With the ghostly woman's ability to float through walls, he didn't believe he could find her unless she wanted to be found. Next, he stored all the little poorly carved animals in his storage. He then practiced using the float spell, summoning a minor wind elemental to push him around. The elemental looked like a baby made of clouds when first summoned, but slowly lost its form as the summoning time ran out. He found he could float nearly indefinitely, but could only summon the cloud baby for a few minutes. Charles was also a little disappointed he could only summon one at a time, as that would mean the kids would need to take turns. Or he could push one and the elemental could push the other. He went through the yard and threw any random sticks or branches he found, off into the woods so they wouldn't poke any of the kids if they decided to go barefoot. He double-checked the guest rooms to make sure their beds were still made if they decided to spend the night. He then did a variety of other minor chores, trying to waste time, only to realize that it was about noon and there wasn't much left to do. By mid-afternoon, he was considering reading the entirety of the Dungeon War screen, all 400 pages of it when he heard the sound of crying. He set off immediately in the direction of the sound, although it was an immediate start of a slow-paced walk. Around the back of his cabin, Charles found a 3-story-tall troll. Growls, the Rock Troll, World Boss, Level 50. For one of the first times in the game, Charles just stood and stared in wonder. If the creature stood, it would be taller than his cabin and most of the trees around it. Thick, meaty muscles of grayish-green skin and a face that would make a pug look pleasant were at extreme odds with how the thing was sitting there bawling.
How did it even get here without me seeing it?
It didn't take long for the creature to notice him, and it slowed its crying to sniffles.
You gonna hurt me too?
Its voice rumbled.
Eh?
Charles asked, surprised that it could talk. The troll waved a hand that was as big as Charles toward the tree line.
They all wanna hurt growls. Don't like growls. Why don't they like growls?
Charles was even more surprised.
He's like a child.
Charles wasn't sure who could possibly try to hurt a kid,
even one as big as that,
but he did know how to deal with upset children. Upset kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids had given him plenty of experience. He walked slowly up to the troll and patted him on his foot.
It's okay. You're here now. Where are your mom and dad?
While Charles was sympathetic to giant children, he wasn't so sympathetic as to spend any more time than he had to with other people's kids. The troll just shook its head.
Gone.
It leaned back, and Charles's cabin creaked in protest. Charles wasn't too happy about that, since he needed the cabin to be in perfect condition for tomorrow.
Gone where?
Charles asked.
Just gone.
The way he said it left little doubt in Charles's mind where they'd gone, so Charles changed the subject.
Growls, do you want to play a game?
Charles asked. Growls looked excited for a moment, and then sad.
No, growls no good at games. Always lose.
Charles nodded like he understood.
Me too. That's why I made up my own game where nobody wins or loses. Wanna play?
What game?
Growls asked.
I call it faces. When I say a face, we try to make that face. Let me show you. Here's Happy.
Charles gave the troll a giant smile. After holding it, he let it go.
Wanna play?
The giant troll nodded happily.
Okay.
How about we take turns saying the face? Wanna do that?
The giant troll nodded happily again.
Okay.
Well, I did this last one. Do you want to do the next one or should I?
Charles asked.
You go.
Okay. How about silly? Can we do a silly face?
Charles asked, crossed his eyes, and pursed his lips. He watched as the troll tried to do that, but then just gave a big smile with a giant tongue hanging out.
Good,
Charles said and chuckled. The troll giggled childishly.
My turn. Let's do a stupid face.
And the troll made a face with half-lidded eyes and drooled. Charles made the same face, then they both broke out in laughter.
All right, see if you can do this face,
Charles said.
I call it my old face.
Charles then didn't make any face at all. The kid took a few minutes to catch on, and then broke out in laughter.
I can't do that,
the troll said between laughs. Charles just chuckled again.
This is fun, and reminds me of when my grandkids come to visit.
The moment didn't last long, as soon they heard people approaching through the woods. Growls looked in that direction, scared, and turned to Charles.
Mister, you gotta help me hide. They wanna hurt me. Hurt me bad, like Mom and Dad.
An enormous troll shaking in fear was not something Charles expected to ever see, and he wasn't sure how something that big could hide.
It surely can't fit in the cabin.
Charles was hesitating to answer when the kid kept talking.
Please, mister, there has got to be something you can do. Help me make it to the nearest dungeon. I can hide in there.
This confused Charles even more.
Well, the dungeon's right there,
Charles began, while gesturing towards the cellar.
But I don't see how...
Charles just trailed off in amazement as the troll crawled over and stuck its head inside. Its body was sucked in soon after. Charles was still gaping when several adventurers came out of the woods.
Old man, where did the troll go?
Coming out from bushes and between trees were four or five folks, all wearing greens and browns and holding bows and arrows. Charles considered the questions for a moment and then answered,
Hey, my hearing ain't so good. What'd you say?
The man who asked walked closer and spoke the same words louder. Charles didn't wait long. As soon as he was within striking distance, the sharp sounds of a stick hitting a person resounded.
You,
thwack,
don't,
thwack,
hurt,
thwack, thwack,
kids.
Charles looked at the others while breathing heavily. The look of shock and terror on their faces might have been the same if they saw a demon in real life. The body of the man beneath him groaned and reached for them shakily with a broken arm. A woman's voice called out from the woods while they all stood in silence.
What's taking so long? This is the last one we need for this quest,
Windy Caroline, the guildmaster of the Sunstripes, asked as she stepped out of the forest. She looked between her scouts, Charles, and the man lying in pain beneath him, trying to piece everything together. Charles's go-to reaction to things like this was to be obstinate. This situation was no exception.
I didn't read my sign. It says, Keep out.